Vibe Talks. Vibe Talks. More than just music.
Hi, this is Michael Asifo reporting for Vibe 105. Black History Month is a time where, for me as a black man, I get to look at my race and say, you know what? We're doing pretty good. With that being said, Black History Month is more than just that. It's a time for us to reflect on all the contributions that all black people have made and ponder on what needs to be done. Joining me now is Kamari Maxine Clark, a professor of global and international studies at Carleton University. How are you, Kamari?
Hi, I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. Before we get into the kind of the meat and potatoes of the interview, I just wanted to ask, what's the first thing you think of when it comes to Black History Month?
I think of multiple things, but I suppose the most important is education, the learning that happens during Black History Month, or at least that was the spirit around which the Black History Month initiative emerged. It was really about education. It was about introducing to people aspects of Black and African history that isn't necessarily taught in the schools. So really, education is what comes to me first when I think of Black History Month.
You mentioned there education, and as a guy who's kind of not necessarily an expert, but obviously being black, you know, you focus on Black History Month a couple times throughout the year. You always hear about the Martin Luther Kings and the Rosa Parks and the Muhammad Ali's, but you never really hear about, for example, the movie Hidden Figures showed three brilliant black mathematicians. For you, is there any unsung heroes who should kind of get a little bit more limelight during this time?
Yeah, I have a two-pronged way of answering that question. And often with my students, this is the case as well, that I would say that on one hand, there are a lot of people that fit the category of the hidden figures women, the brilliant scientists that contributed to the transformation of our world. And fortunately, that story was popularized with the Hollywood movie. But there are a lot of other unsung heroes that we'll never hear of, the stories that remain untold and the, you know, the adages that really are stories about things that we will never understand, really. And, you know, that aspect of the history really needs to be celebrated as well. The everyday people, the ordinary people, the people who sweep the floors and who migrated and sacrificed being with their kids so they could send back barrels and money every month so that their kids could eat back home, wherever home is. And so that's as much a part of our history as, you know, the brilliant scientists who one day, you know, came to international attention. So, you know, all of these stories have to be part of the ways that we reflect on what it is to be black in Canada. And these are stories that need to continue to be told. And even if nothing else, to reflect on, you know, what does it mean to persevere through hardship, economic, political, social, etc., to reflect on it, to celebrate it, to teach others about it. You know, these are things that are important and that we have to continue to engage in.
I kind of mentioned Hidden Figures kind of accidentally, but it leads me to another point and a question that I wasn't really planning on asking. But since we're here now, I guess I can ask. I was talking to a friend about how I was planning to do a Black History Month interview, and he went into the route of, well, you know, black people are usually known for the arts, sports, and, you know, a little bit of politics, obviously, notably with Martin Luther King and now President Obama, but not necessarily scientists. And he brought up the movie Hidden Figures about how this was a thing in the 60s and 50s. And it's now just coming to light in 2017. Do you kind of agree with that point that when it comes to other fields other than kind of the arts and sports and politics, black people don't really get their due? Or are you kind of of the opinion that, you know, it's we usually celebrate everyone during this time of month?
Yeah, it's a tough question in some ways because, you know, in this period, of course, we've reached a point where post-affirmative action, and especially in the U.S. and to some extent in Canada, we achieved many things as people from the African diaspora who, you know, have had access to education, have had access to a range of possibilities and opportunities, but there are still limits to what we've been able to achieve, especially in Canada. And so the reality is that a lot of people don't necessarily see themselves as representatives of Black people. You know, they might be scientists or engineers, etc., but many of them were born in Canada and see themselves as Canadians, and they've pursued their dreams and become what they've become. So it's complex in some ways, because there are some high-achieving folks who don't necessarily want to be identified or celebrated because of Blackness. They want to be celebrated because they've achieved many things. And so you know, part of it is being able to make it visible, and whether they're Black or not, whether they want to be identified as such or not, that other people see what they've done and they know that they too can do it, especially children, especially young people. This realm of possibility, being able to see it so you can be it, is tremendous, especially for a young child. So on one hand, what I'm saying is that there are many in many fields in science and engineering and computer programming, etc., who are Black that don't get recognition, partly because they don't want it. And then the other is because society may not celebrate them or know their story. The networks in Canada really isn't the same as the networks in the US for sort of the Black networks, the kind of alumni associations, the big money. It's not quite the same. Not that it doesn't exist, but it's very different. And so part of it is being able to identify those people, bring them back to high schools, to elementary schools, you know, whoever they are, however they represent themselves, and have them tell their story. And we need more institutional structures that will allow that, if nothing else, for young people to see that there are a lot of different people that are doing tremendous things out there. People from Ghana, from Nigeria, from Jamaica, from Barbados, born in Canada, from Chatham, from Halifax, you know, they're all over and doing tremendous things and have been doing that. And so part of it is really to document and to celebrate by ensuring that the story is told.
Michael Sifo of Vibe 105 here with Professor Kamari Maxine Clark. Kamari, you mentioned something there along the lines of networks not being the same from US, for example, as opposed to kind of Ghana. I would like to ask you, have you seen kind of the effect of the Black History Month differ in ways from USA to, let's see, Kenya, for example, or Canada?
Yeah, I mean, it's tremendous. And in fact, while Black History Month is a part of Canadian celebrations, it really did have its birth, its institutional birth in the U.S. out of the civil rights movement. And that was alongside Canadian formations that were deeply influenced by it and alongside it. And so in the U.S., it's far more institutionalized. I mean, I lived in the States for 28 years before returning back to Canada. And I grew up in Toronto and left when I was 17 to go to university. And so in many ways, you know, I've been able to see both the developments, the early days in Canada, and then to really come of age in the States to see how it's taken shape, and then to return home and get a sense of where things are by way of Black community, Black organizing, the institutionalization of Black stories and Black history. And so there's a big difference. I mean, in Kenya, you know, it's a very different situation, especially in places where Black people are in the majority. And Ghana and elsewhere, Black History Month is, if it is celebrated at all, it's, you know, it's sort of a cultural celebration. There are lots of things, you know, there are a range of activities, but it certainly isn't as widespread as the U.S. So, yeah, there's a big difference. And in Canada, it's tremendously relevant. And it's not just Black History Month. I mean, like in the U.S., we have a lot of different history months, a lot of different consciousness raising months. So if it's Asian studies or lesbian and gay and queer studies, or there are a lot of different identities that are celebrated at different times of the year. And so it is like the U.S., you do have these cycles of recognition for history, for cultural engagement. So it's in both sets of places, as well as, you know, in Africa, you see some of it, especially by those who are connected with diasporic Blacks who are, you know, in the U.K. and in Canada and the U.S., but it's certainly not the same and it's not as widespread. And there are different issues at play.
One last question before I let you go, because this was such an interesting conversation, and I'm sure the listeners want to kind of get some supplementary information going forward. Are there any resources that anyone can go to get more information about what was just talked here?
Yeah, tremendous. There's, you know, from reading novels to textbooks to books about feminism and third world feminism. And there's a lot that's out there. It really depends on what the listeners are interested in. You know, it's vast. It's vast. But people can check out my website, KamariClark.com, and my email address is there. And people have questions or want to follow up. My earlier work had to do with the African diaspora and how we understand these transnational religious practices. And in many ways, much of what I've spoken about is very much informed by the work that I do. And now my current work is about international legal and transnational formation. So I look at international law and, you know, the questions of African indictments by the international court. And again, how we understand the way that law travels and how the values around particular kinds of practices, particular notions of justice are understood. So, you know, there's a tremendous amount of information out there, a lot of books, a lot of, you know, writing that attempts to emphasize the importance of thinking about culture and history and race and politics. So there are many places to start. And I mean, one place is to take a look at my website and take a look at some of the work that I've done.
So unfortunately, we did run out of time. Thank you, Kamari, for the interview, and hopefully we talk again soon.
Okay, you're welcome. All the best.
And now back to your Vibe 105.